Simon on the Bays, Sif Gimel, which is the lachas of, we're going to go through a lot of the lachas of writing tefillin. So the next step is, what type of diyo do we use? Yichtabim b'diyo shachor, it has to be black ink. Bein sheyesh b'mei afotzim, b'mei shaloi b'mei afotzim. Whether it has mei afotzim or not. Okay, so what is mei afotzim? So, I printed this out in case somebody wants to... So the name of our diyo was really, it's called iron gall ink. And it's made with ferrous sulfate and gall nuts and gum arabic. That's the standard way that we make it. So gall nuts, what are gall nuts? Gall nuts is that it's basically a very, very high source of tannin. The way it is on the oak trees, when the larvae of certain moths, the moth lays its larvae under the bark. And as the larvae start to grow, it irritates the tree, and the tree creates some type of a shell around it. And that shell is full of a large amount of tannin. There's tannin on the bark in general, but that has to have a higher concentration. You take the gall nuts, you crush them, you soak them in water or in wine, and it pulls out the tannin. You add ferrous sulfate, which is, they've added iron, just plain iron. And the combination of the two creates a black colored ink. And if you add gum arabic to it, which is referred to in halacha as kuma, so that makes it that it's more thick, and it also makes it more permanent. So that's how we make it. So that's a very, apparently it was a very common ink, which is found in the medieval times. It was used for writing. Putting it on paper is problematic because what happens is, in the process of the combining of the ferrous sulfate with the tannin and the gum arabic, and there's some liquid there. So what happens is, so ferrous sulfate, if you recall your science, is its chemical notation is FeSO4, right? And you remember that sulfuric acid is H2SO4. So apparently, what's happened is it'll combine with some of the molecules of water and creates sulfuric acid. There's a little sulfuric acid which comes with the ink. So in the parchment, what happens is it etches into the parchment, so that makes it even more permanent. But on a piece of paper, it makes the paper very brittle, and it'll actually break it through the paper. So that's why it's much better when you're doing it on cloth than you're doing it on. So that's what we do. So now, what can you use for this? So the Mechaber says whether it has this gall nut liquid in it or it doesn't. So you could just take straight something which is black, you put it on the paper or on the parchment on the cloth, and it'll make a color. So one of the examples which we'll talk about is the Ramah will talk about. Let's see the next piece. B'chakila yach melitah b'diyoy hosiyah me'asham eitzim oshmonim shirim b'me'afotzim. So you take what's called carbon black, right? The carbon which is the byproduct of the burning of either of wood or of oils. You take that, you soak it in me'afotzim. You combine the two together. K'mashis barbe yoredei simon reshalif. So that's what the Ramah holds you should do. Mishabur will say we do not actually follow the Ramah on this point. You wrote it in a different color, or a gold, so it was not just a dye, but even like a metal type of a thing. That's possible. So you wrote it with D.O., and then you put gold dust. And I said, I want really chashuv a tefillin, What's going to make chashuv? I have gold dust on my tefillin. So you scratch mavra zova yishar ksavatatum rikashuv. So since the yo was there first and the letters were there beforehand, so taking with the gold dust is not called a nuksiva, and therefore it's kashuv. Let's say abu mizork hazov al ois miaskaris. However, but if you put it onto one of the shemus of Hashem, and the tekana, fish osur lahaver azov mishum dahavi kemoichik as Hashem. As much as there's this gold dust is marking demarcating the letters of the shem, so there would be ishum mechika on the shem Hashem. Say you have no aid to the self. Okay.
Wait, the Sofim get it like they buy it in a bottle. I mean, where do they get it from? They don't make it.
Nowadays you buy it in a bottle, yeah.
And there's somebody when is doing it by taking the gall nuts?
Yeah. No. Yeah. The person spoke about that the gall nuts in Poland were better than the gall nuts in Germany. It was like, you know, it's a whole, you know.
I'm sure.
You know, they discussed everything, you know.
So in the United States you can get that those gall nuts as well?
I think so. I mean, I tell you a fascinating story. Back in 1976, I think. So the science teacher in the Telshi High School, they went through a few different science teachers. So the principal convinced there was a Baal Tshuva, a fellow, a PhD in chemistry, Dr. Yamini from Egypt. He was a boyhood friend of Eli Cohen, as a matter of fact. They grew up together. So Dr. Yamini was a Baal Tshuva. He was a chemist. And he convinced him, the principal convinced, with their friends, he would come to teach the science classes. So the biology was a required course, and that was like, you know, 30-something guys, and that was whatever. He spent most of the year debunking evolution, which I happen to find very fascinating, but most of the guys in Yeshiva, in those days, the response was like, what absolute mindless idiot would believe in this stuff anyway? Why are you wasting your time in it? You know, that was their thought process. Later on, they had Charot, but the chemistry was an elective. So he was Egyptian, so they were bringing to the Rambam. See, one day he walks in and says, here's the Rambam. Let's read the Rambam's recipe for the yo. Okay, now let's figure out what are the chemicals in these items, which are really what it is. And we're going to make the yo in the chemistry class based on the chemicals that we had in the lab without, you know, touching any of the things. So that's what we did. We made the yo right there in the lab with the chemicals. Pashas would be kosher. That'd be fine.
No, it would be.
It would be, yeah. It was very cute to do that. Okay, it was fascinating. Like, you know, he was thinking of those terms. You know, he's a chemist, so he, you know. So we thought it was the coolest thing, you know. And it's also it's ferrous sulfate is blue. It's a bright blue or green, right? And gall nuts are brown. You put them together, you get black. It's like, right? You know, like video shocker. If it's bluish, he sends it to the Biralacha. The Biralacha comes out, the first Biralacha, Yitzhak B'diyo Shachar, so that it's not kosher. It can be a lighter, it can be a lighter black or a darker black, but it can't be blue. So that's the first point that we hear. So Ramos says, you make it out of Ashan Eitzim. Pirish below Yatul Besoicha Kumo Ikan Ketum Shekar Meloshen Ashkenaz Kuper Vasser. You don't put in Kuma or Kan Ketum. Kuma is gum Arabic, and Kan Ketum is the ferrous sulfate, which is also known as Kuper Vasser. Because the reason it's known as Kuper Vasser, which really was a copper sulfate, because. A lot of times they would switch one for the other. And the most common was they're doing it with ferrous sulfate. And actually, apparently in some medieval times, they used to refer to ferrous sulfate as cuprous. So it's the same thing. Why shouldn't you use kumar kan ketum? It should be a ksav which can be erasable. Now, the Gemara, this is a Gemara in Soita. The Gemara in Shabbos touches on it also, but it's a Gemara in Soita. That the Gemara comes out that we know that the Megillah that the Soita, that the parsha of the Soita is written in, you used to be boiling the Soita, obviously has to be erasable. You would erase the ksav in the water. The Gemara's machloek is, can you use the Parshas Soita in the Torah for the Parshas Soita? Is that the Parsha of the Soita, which is written in the Torah, is that kosher for Parshas Soita? That's Machlokes Tanoim. We come out that Parshas Soita, Ksuba B'Torah, would be kosher for Parshas Soita, which means that it would have to be that it's Ksavish, which is Yochol Himochek. So, some Rishonim learn, and the Gemara is really telling us that the preferred way to make the Ksav of the Torah, it has to be Roy to be able to be used for Parshas Soita, i.e., it has to be Yochol Himochek. Okay, so that's my favorite Torah. What about by Tefillin and Mezuzah? Because there's no Parshas Soita written in Tefillin and Mezuzah, as far as I know. So we make a Hekesh from Sefer Torah to Tefillin and Mezuzah. So therefore, the Ramah says that you should use the Ashan Eitzim or Shmonim with Me'afotzim, because that's still erasable. Now, was that called erasable?
Why?
When you, what the Ramah said, you use the ingredients, the Ramah says, is it creates an erasable ink. Now this is all they. You would have come on time. You would have known. So this is all talking about a preferred mitzvah. Now, the Ramah is not saying that it's ma'akeh b'di'evit. It's not ma'akeh b'di'evit. B'di'evit is kosher, even though it's not erasable. That which we say it should be erasable is not ma'akeh b'di'evit. Okay. Now, so therefore, you can make it out of the combination of me'afotzim and kumen kantkatum, which is the gall nuts, the gum arabic, and the ferrous sulfate. Gall nuts. That's what we do nowadays. We combine the three things together. We cook it up together. We do that. We give preference to that because we don't want the ksav to be erasable. Because you can imagine that the ksav is erasable, you have to keep rewriting your sefer Torah, but to wear out very quickly. So we bedafka use this combination, which is not erasable.
Which things are erasable?
If you don't put in kumar or kantkatum, it's erasable. If you add a kumar kantkatum, you can't erase it. Now. But I'm a Magen Avraham, Shekasev. The Magen Avraham already wrote the Biyamav, which is not long after the Ramah. He already wrote the Ramah. Gam came leechem in Agdalim Shenog Lasis b'diyoha osem yashan etzim ushmonim. Okay, he did not find anybody who was doing like the Ramah. He says already in his time, which was the Magen Avraham was two generations after the Ramah. He was already saying that nobody was doing like this Ramah. Of using the carbon black. But the Magen Avraham does is they did make a diyo out of certain types of koitzim, which would give off a black color.
Carbon
black is when you take if you would take oil, burn it in a lamp. Oil lamp, and you put some type of a metal on top of it, it would catch the soot. That wet type of a soot is called carbon black. It's basically straight carbon.
Shmonim,
great. Okay, possibly b'sever get makusher, b'sever birka yosiv. Lasses kaminogeno akshav. They both paskin that you make it with a combination of me'afotzim kumen kantatum, the gallnuts, the gum arabic, and the ferrous sulfate. If somebody wants, I printed out the recipe. You can take a look at the recipe. The Yoha Osim Yashin Eitzim Ushmonim Miskalkal Benimchach Benokal Al Kain Ein Noigim Yashin. Because the Yoha, which is just a combination of Ashin Eitzim and Shmonim, is just the carbon black. So it erases very easily, and that's a major. It's going to be very difficult to deal with. Okay. Now, what about the Yo Ha'osim Mimeafotzim Bovad Beloy Kuma Shakurin Beloshan Ashkenaz Guma Mikan Ketum Bovad Pasafil Abidiyev? If you make the Yo from one of the ingredients alone, any one of the ingredients alone will give you something which you can write with, but it's not kosher. Kekos of Grob Biro Lekamon Misim Tafrei Sadiel of Ayn Shem Vayim Biro Lochem. So one alone is definitely not kosher. What about two? So that's what the Bir Halacha deals with. In other words, if what we make it out of is a combination of the three together, see what's in a one would be if you would make it out of a combination of the Me'afotzim and Kan Ketum without the Guma. So the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Megillah, the Bir Halacha in Bein Shiloi. He quotes the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch over there, which indicates if you make it from Me'afotzim and Kan Ketum, it's kosher. So just it only has two of those two ingredients. It doesn't have Guma, it's still kosher. If it's made from one alone, that's not the Yo. The Yo is a combination of them together. Um, Mutzer lita of tefillin mezuzas b'diyosha hanasim istam yeinom. Now, when they would soak the gallnuts, they would soak it in wine. Apparently, when you soak it in wine, it counterbalances some of the pH problem that you have. So, wine is acidic a little bit, and I think the gallnuts is when they come, they have a very low pH, so it balances out the pH a little bit. So they would use wine instead of water. So even with using stam yenam of the goyim,
so you're trying to make it pH more acidic. Is that what you're saying? You're putting in the
they
wine
would add a little, make it more acidic.
Make it more acidic, otherwise it's more alkaline.
Right. So they would use it. So it's kosher to use it from stam yenam. So that means even though stam yenam is only osim rabbanon, there's a gemara in Shabbos that whatever we use for tefillin and mezuzah has to mean mina mutter beficha. It has to mean from items which would be mutter to consume. So the chiddush over here is that since mina raisa, so this yain is not osir, so the osim rabbanon. So the chara it shouldn't be a problem mina mutter beficha. That's one argument. The second argument is that by the time you get it, it's no longer functioning as stam yenam. By the time you get it, you're not what you're putting in the tefillin. You know, you're not drinking dio. You know, even though there's X amount of wine mixed in over there, people don't drink it. So there's the requirement of minimutu beficho, it becomes like totally niskalkal. So it wouldn't be called stam yenam anymore. There would be a problem minimutu beficho.
You have to use skin from an animal that was had a normal shechita.
So that the more it discusses, the more it comes out. It's discussing the min that you use, not the actual
the process.
So even if it wasn't shechted, it's still kosher.
Okay.
I'm Nishar Tshuva Sivkot and Dalvis. Nishar Tshuva discusses using. I guess Shari Tshuva discusses using stam yenam.
The animal leather was made.
Right. I don't know where Shari Tshuva said cut and dowel went to. It goes from Gimel to Hay. Okay. Apparently he had a shirt with silk and dalit. The yoin tzarach lasis lishma. The yod does not need to be made, as we'll see later on. Some of the processes of making the tefillin have to be done lishma for the purpose of using it for tefillin, or sifrei Torah or mezuzah. But the yod does not have that requirement. There is some sheet that hold that there is a heater to use the yod which is made lishma.
Does Rob know? Do we have any idea how far back this formula goes of these three items?
It's not mentioned in the Gemara, but the Rambam already touches on it. So it takes you back 1,000 years,
yeah.
Right? Right. Okay, you wrote even one letter in a different color. Or with gold, it's no good. Oisachas lav dafka tehudin mixas ois. Not only is it one letter a problem, but even part of a letter is a problem, as long as it is going kutzah shayud, a part of a letter which would be required. The example that he gives is the kutzah shayud. We'll see later on what the kutzah shayud is, but the part of even the little letter yud and the extra. Point that the yud has to have to be kosher. You make that out of a different color; it's no good.
This formula for the ink, is that basically because in those days that was a black, unerasable ink that they had, and nowadays we don't want to change it. Even if theoretically we could have another ink that would also be black and unerasable, we probably could use it, but we don't want to change because that's how we did it. Is that right?
The Rambam holds that it's lav dafka this recipe. I mean, the more mentions mefotzim, the more mentions kumar, the more it mentions all three of them. The more it mentions them as putting them together to make dio. The more it talks about writing with mefotzim by itself, writing with kumar by itself, writing with kantkadu by itself. That's more in a few places, more in Gittin, Daf Yates. writing a get with just any one of the three.
And so in Gemara Shabbos, he discusses.
And Gemara Shabbos talks about it. You know, the Mishnah talks about it. You know, writing with these different things.
Right.
So, the Gemara never says that the combination of the three is what gives you the definition of the yo. The Rambam holds it's lav dafka. It's lav dafka that these, you know, this
rest. This had the criteria that we needed.
Right. So
in those days, that's what they.
Right. Okay. It's not a black, whatever color it be, red, green, whatever the color might be, it's not kosher. Now, we will talk about later on, the Mishnah Berurah talks about, the Shulchan talks about, when it starts out as black and it starts over the time the color deteriorates, what's that, you know, at what point in time is that considered no longer black for the purposes of Ksivas? That we'll talk about later on. But here we're talking about the Chachil, he's making it with a color which was not now what about the just one interesting question which I had, but I didn't think about when I was doing it. I have the O at home and I have a Kolmus and I have a little bit of Klav, you know, and I practice. Once upon a time, I practiced. I learned how to write the Tzuras Arsias, so I used to practice it once in a while. Recently, I pulled it out and I showed my daughter how to write the different letters, etc. So we used the Dio. So I'm not sure that it wasn't the same practice. It was the same because there's a Bir Lach later on that talks about using the Dio, which is made for the purpose of Ksiva. Sefer Torah uses the Tzarcho. He's Masupik whether that's Mutter or not. So I. So,
why's the problem?
Because when it was originally made, it was made for the purpose of Ksiva Stam.
But if you use the same recipe and you didn't have anything in mind, then you'd be able to
do whatever you want.
Meaning safer to ritual and then
correct. Okay.
I assume
when
a
cipher
is learning how to be a
cipher. That's called a tzar. That practicing is called a tzar. You have a tenai. But this wasn't the same practice. It was just a shame to show like what they look like. okay. So b'sharmin and tzibarim, we said yud aleph. So now, if you put gold dust on top of the ois, so down below you have the ois made of the yo, which is good, and you have this gold dust on top that's no good. Now, we said before, there's Dinam's Kesidron. So he wrote word number one, word number two, then he goes back to word number one, and he removes the gold. So you have a problem with Kesidron L'Charu. Because you're, as we're rewriting it, mm-hmm. by taking it away. So Mishnah Berurah says, Maver Azov. Velva Gavda calls the man Shein Ein Maver Posel. And as long as the gold is still there, it's not kosher. And when the way we look at it is that what's on top is being mavata, what's beneath. So if so, when you take it off, now it's like you're writing in a note. Still, when mikri al yedei havora ksiva shalik esidron, kivin shein kursiv kiim mavir nishu ksava tachton memelon. In other words, misad, the halacha was halacha in ksiva tamo. Ksiva tamo tells me it has to be written in the correct order. The act you're doing here is not an act of ksiva. It's an act of removal. So, and allows that original ksiva to be now kosher. So it's considered that you put it back to its original state where the ksiva tamba, it was ksiva tamba. Obviously, if you wrote the chachila with the wrong color and you went back and fixed it up, that would be too late. Because then you're writing on, if you wrote it in red originally, you want to go back now and put black on top of it, it's not kesidra. So that would be a different story. Okay, so that's.
Wait, the gold is mixed in with the ink, or he puts the gold.
He wrote the letter with black ink, and then he sprinkled gold dust on top of it.
And then went to the next word and wrote the next word, regular with black ink. And now he's going.
No, it could be put a bit sprinkled after. I don't know what those necessarily. You know, when he did it.
I don't understand the shot. So when he's sprinkling the gold, now the word's puzzle. Right.
Blow
out his puzzle. And
so now when he's removing the gold.
The gold, it goes back to the original.
So his question was, why isn't Pamash Loka Sidron? So he says, if you get to one of the Shemas of Hashem, you can't remove that gold. then maybe you end up with the it's not kosher. Now, take a look over here in the Bir Locha, Kimoichikas Hashem. Abba Moichik Mamash Lohabi, the Lashon is Kimoichikas Hashem. So why is it only called Kimoichikas Hashem? It says it's Moichikas Hashem. The Nishur Ksava Tachta. So, in other words, so what, the issue is not that the goal looks like a letter and you're moving it. The point is you took away the Shem Hashem. Well, you didn't, because there is... So let's say theoretically I have a thick layer of Dio and when I wrote the letter. And I want to thin it out. As long as I remain with the Shem Hashem, I didn't really... wasn't really Moichik. Number one. Now, Mashrik Mikanda Filo Zarek Azov Shaloba Klushes Hashem Osir Limchik. Even though the gold wasn't put there, you wrote the letter of the Shem Klushes Hashem. You put the gold on top. It didn't discuss that this was limited to a case where you did it L'Shem Kedusha or not L'Shem Kedusha. He said, it's always awesome. So it means that that's going to be a problem. And the loy kemoshakosu b'shach v'yerdei asim reshayim v'lo b'sif katan yud beis. That the shach over there says the only Yisra Mechik is only when it's put there with L'Shem Kedusha Hashem. Now, I don't remember the details of the shach. The Gemara discusses that case. The Gemara discusses the following case. It's the opposite of it. But the Gemara discusses both halves of it. I don't remember the details of the Gemara. The Gemara says, so the word, the name Yehuda, the name of Hashem, are very, very close. The only difference is that Yehuda has a dalet in it. So the Gemara says, the Gemara discusses a case where you need to write the Shem Hashem. For whatever reason, the serpent thought you need to write Yehuda. The serpent made two mistakes. First mistake, first of all, he thought that what you needed to write over here was Yehuda, not the Shem Hashem, but really you needed the Shem Hashem. The second mistake was he left out the Dalet. So he ended up writing the Shem Hashem, but not the Shem Kedushas Hashem, because he was planning to write Yehuda. Right? So the Mor says, you have a Shem Hashem without Kedushas Hashem. The Mor says, okay, so what do you do now? So the Mor says, you can't go and write on top of it and be Mechadosh the Shem, because by doing that, you're being Mechadosh what's beneath it, and that is the Shem Hashem.
How are you being Mechadosh what's underneath it? You're just putting ink on top of existing.
So what? Well,
you're not mucking it.
But if your goal is that you want the upper ink to be considered the Ksiva,
right?
Because that's the equivalent of saying I want the lower ink to be replaced with upper ink.
Oh.
So more so that there were, so
you
more
bring, the bottle, the lower.
Right, so the more brings machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham, and what you can do, if I recall correctly, about what you're supposed to do in that case, what you can do in that case. So it means the more already touched on this issue of a mechika of a shame, which is not written in the shame because this is a shame. Mishabur is saying, you see from over here, that's a problem. I don't remember the shach, how the shach deals with it, whether he deals with it or not. It wasn't written in the shame because this is a shame, and the more discussed, it's the problem of mechika. Okay. Let's do Dalit. Is that clock correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're finished with the Yom. We're moving to the next halacha. The next halacha is called Mukav Gvil. Gvil is another name for the klaf. And Mukav means to be surrounded. Each letter has to be surrounded by klaf, which means that it's totally independent and not connected to the letter next to it. It also means, let's say there was a if you wrote the letter and there's a little hole in the klaf next to it. So part of the letter is not touching klaf; it's touching a hole of air. So that's also not called Mukav Gvil. It has to be totally surrounded with Gvil. So he says no letter should touch the one next to it. Each letter has to be totally surrounded by the klaf. Okay, fine. I'll go on a new point. You have to make sure that you write every letter properly. That's part of Ksiva Tama, which even the Kutsa Shal Yud. One rule they always tell you, don't try and write Sab Stam with a pen. Never comes out good. Right? So when you write your Yud, right, you're gonna, so You're going to have a kites on the bottom left, the top part of the yod, the left part, the bottom, and on top you have to have, it has to be squared off. You have to have it's called kutzah shel yod. So even that squaring off, it should be like that. You'll notice most yuds that you'll have written in the Sefer Torah, it'll start with a line, and then it'll go that way, a very small line, but there's a line there. All ksiva, when you write, you always write from left to right. So you start with the left part of the letter, and you go to the right. So it has to have that kutzah shel yud. We'll see more about the kutzah shel yud, exactly what that is. Simon Lamavov, he goes through all the different the letters, each one of the letters. I'm supposed to look at one second. This picture here. Nicer picture than mine. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's in Lamavov. Some of them have. So you'll. But it's Sirus Ois Yud. You have fancy old pictures in
the back. No, it's not on the. I'm not saying the letters, it's more on.
Right, it has that little line over there. Right. That's what your yod looks like, is a little line. So that's called the kutzah shel yod. So the remote, that little line on the left side is
the top.
There's no yud. Well, I guess it figures the yud is easy to write. Okay. So, and v'yehema tag kilchosa. Also, we should make sure that all of the letters have the tagin on top properly. It should be a little bit thicker, because the thicker it is, the more it's, you know, even if you part of it erases out, you still have a letter there. So you'd like the letters to last longer. We're putting them in tefillin, hoping they're going to last. It's the mitzvah. I'm not sure exactly what means, but the mitzvah is to make it look as nice as possible. Now the Mishabur is going to deal with, we'll leave that for tomorrow, but Mishabur is going to deal with, in the sin of Mukav Gavil, so the letter has to be Mukav Gavil, and they can't touch the letter next to it. So you have tiyog, you have a tag on top of your shatnas gats, the letters which have the tagim on top. So you have three little tagim. What if the tagim touch each other? Is that a problem with Mukav Gavil? It's not touching another letter, it's touching itself. So that the Mishabur will talk about. Okay.